Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Father, we agree with your plans today. Have your way in us, O God. Father, you said who can know their errors? So we come, Lord God, thanking you in the mighty name of Jesus for all that you're doing, all that you're going to do on our behalf. We come to ask you to forgive us for errors, transgressions, trespasses, sins of omission, sins of commission, Lord God. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you are our rear guard. In the name of Jesus, we put on our whole armor, the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, loins girded about with truth, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We have the sword of the Spirit in one hand, the shield of faith in the other. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are Jehovah Adonai. In the name of Jesus, the sovereign God, our supreme ruler. In the name of Jesus, have your way, Lord God. And Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. Truly, you are Jehovah Elohim, a strong creator. Oh, God, you created the earth and put everything in it in 6 days, and on the seventh day you rested. What a great creator you are. Thank you that you are Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Lord, you are the great physician. We know that the doctors are limited, but you're the unlimited physician. You're able to heal our bodies inside out without medication. You can send the word and heal us. Your word says you will bless our bread and our water and take sickness away from the midst of us. So we are continually trusting in you, blessing you, honoring you, thanking you, Lord God, that you are the King of Kings, the Almighty Father, the Lord of Lords, no God great like you, Jehovah. We are thanking you, Lord God, for everything that you've done, everything you're about to do on our behalf. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, oh God, that we can trust in you. We thank you that you are Jehovah El Elyon, the Most High God. Lord, we don't know the way, but we do truly know that you are a way maker. You make a way where there's seemingly no way. In the mighty name of Jesus, all we give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor, the thanksgiving belong to you. Oh, Lord, you are the Most High God. Nothing is impossible to you, oh God. We are limited as human beings, but you are an unlimited Father. We thank you that you are Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner. In the name of Jesus, you love us in spite of our faults, in spite of our sins, in spite of our shortcomings. But thank you, Lord God, that you do chastise those whom you love so we won't slip off the path. And when we do slip off, you remind us to get back on. You pull us back on the path of righteousness. You are a shepherd, and we shall not want. Lord, we thank you that you are a peacemaker, Jehovah Shalom. You make peace within us, peace in our home, peace in our neighborhood, in our city, in our state, in our nation, throughout the world. You're the great peacemaker, Lord God. You said be at peace within us as much as it lies within us with everybody. So, Father, help us to be at peace within ourselves, peace with everybody. In the name of Jesus, oh God, I thank you today that you are Jehovah Ra, a shepherd. You lead us in a plain path. Oh, yeah, you are a shepherd, and we shall not want. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we won't fear any evil because you are with us. Your rod and your staff comforts us every day of our lives. You are Jehovah Shema. You are there. There's no place that you're not. You're all over the world at the same time. What a mighty God you are. We are trusting in you. We are believing in you. We are putting our trust and our faith in you. You said faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We don't see it, but we know you're doing it. Hallelujah, that you're keeping us. You're rescuing us from the enemy, every enemy. Oh, yeah, we can't always see the enemy, but you are rescuing us and keeping us in your almighty palm, and nothing by any means can touch us or harm us. In the name of Jesus, we're thanking you today, Lord God, that you have proven yourself over and over and over and over and over to be the almighty God. Well, you are Jehovah Jireh, that provider that we need. You provide everything that we need for life and godliness. everything that we need. Oh, God, you make a way where there's seemingly no way. We are thanking you today, that you are righteous, God, Jehovah Tsikanu. And you said you want us to be holy like you in the name of Jesus. So, Father God, we thank you that holiness is the way, pure in thought, pure in action, pure, oh, God, in the words that we speak. In the name of Jesus, pure in our intentions, people of integrity. We thank you for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. You are almighty. Nothing is impossible to you. We give you glory, praise, and thanksgiving on this wonderful, wonderful day of September the 8th, 2021. Thank you, Father. God says the steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord. So we thank God that he's ordering our steps on a daily basis. He don't forget us. We forget him. You know, we get distracted and we forget the Most High God, the one who created us, the one who blew his very... We forget. You know, we got short-term memory sometimes. And we go like, uh-oh, Lord, I forgot. Yeah, we use excuses like Moses, but, you know, he remembers us. Suppose he got busy and forgot you. You know, suppose you say, well, Lord, I'm looking for you at 9 o'clock tonight. I'm going to be in the secret place. And he don't show up. Uh-oh. I tell you what, you need a bucket, kids, in it, because you'd be so disappointed. But God, he's faithful. He said when he gives his word, he's going to keep it. He is going to keep his word. Well, good afternoon. Greetings to each of you on this, September the 8th. Isn't that awesome? 8 is the number of new beginnings. Yep, we have a new beginnings today, new beginnings, new beginnings, new beginnings. Yesterday is complete. Today is a new day, new beginning. So we're looking forward to these new beginnings today. We are praising our God. We serve an amazing God. We are privileged to serve the Most High God. Don't you know some people don't even know his name? And some people know his name and deny his existence. They go like, there is no God, but we know the children of the Most High. We know him. We know his name. Thank God. He know our name, huh? Yes, indeed. He don't ever forget us. He's almighty. Nothing is impossible for him. We limited now. We are limited, but the Almighty is not limited. not in anything. Those things you think are impossible, he could do them. We can't do them. No. You know what? I'm telling you, the strongest man in the Bible, you know his name. You know one of the strongest men in the Bible, Samson. You know Samson. He still was not as powerful as the Almighty who created him. We're not above our Creator. God created all of us, and he has great plans for you. I'm talking to you. I know you think I'm talking to the other person on the radio, but I'm talking to you too. God is an awesome God. There's nothing he can't do. He said, you know, in his word, in Ephesians 3:20, he can do exceedingly abundantly above. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all, not something, he said all, that we can ask, think according to the power that worketh in us. Now, you know what? We got to get that power working in us. It don't come by just being on the TV 24/7. You know, we got to get the power in the secret place, in the Word of God. Do you know reading the Word of God will give you power? And guess what? It also gives you wisdom. You say, Lord, I don't know how to proceed. I don't know what to do. Read the Word. It's going to give you wisdom. It's going to guide you because God is the shepherd that you need. He leads you in a plain path. So, you know, the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages to a world without end. Amen. So it's time to sing. I think Sister Vivian's going to sing for us, but I know Sister Lanny's going to sing first, and then I pray Sister Vivian's going to sing. I did send her a text, so I'm praying she's going to sing next. But you know what? I'm telling you what, God is so awesome. I don't even have human words to describe how powerful, how awesome, how mighty he is. And he works in all of our lives differently according to how we are. He know you. He know your name. He know your location, your fingerprints, your voice prints. He even know where your feet going to be going today. Nothing is impossible to him. He knows our thoughts afar off. Now look here, he way up there in heaven, and we down on earth, but he already know our thoughts. So we got to line up with this word, line up with this word. We're going to call him Sister Lanny, Minister Lanny from Jackson, Mississippi, to sing a song of praise for us this afternoon. Good afternoon, Sister Lanny. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Sister G, and all the other persons on the line. God bless you. I'd like to sing a hymn today. Absolutely love the hymns.
He, the key, meaning the cross. There's a pressure and it's free to all a healing. Healing stream, and it flows from Calvary. Mountain near the cross. I watch and wait, putting all my hope, oh God, and all my trust in heaven, oh God, forever. But one day, stream, the river. And it's in the broad. Oh, in the name of Jesus, he'll be my glory forever. Until I reach to my raptured soul to find. Oh,
Moses' wife's name, one Zipporah, two to Tara. Three, Esther.
Mary. Zipporah was
good
my
job. Thank you,
wife.
Sister Mary.
Thank you for giving
Thank you, ma'am. All right, here we go again. Number four. Which book of poetry says two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor? Is it Psalms 27:4, Ecclesiastes 4:9, Job 4:4? Which one?
Brian, which Ecclesiastes 4:9.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brian. Good to hear you. All right. You guys are doing great. One more in this area. Which of these books reveal what is to come and says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Number one is the 3 John 2. Number two, Acts 4:7. Number three, Revelation 1:8. What is the correct answer?
Sister Vivian, Revelation 1:8.
Okay, good job. I tell you, I got Bible scholars, brilliant people on the line. Thank God for each of you. All right, y'all know the word. Y'all been digging in the word, I see. I pray y'all read Exodus 3 and 4. Next week we're going to be Exodus 4 and 5. I'm sorry, 5 and 6. Homework time. Yay. Don't you love it? It's your turn. So first we have Brother Brian, Exodus chapter 3, 1 through 7. What did the Lord show you? Give a summary. What did the Lord show you?
Amen. Thank you, Sister G. Good afternoon, everyone. So Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. This is pretty much set up for Moses' journey down the mountain and where we find him at. He has now become a shepherd for his father-in-law, Jethro, and he's taking the sheep upon the land on the mountain. And what happens is, the angel of the Lord appears to him in the burning bush. And the first question Moses asks is, how is this bush burning, but nothing is coming from it? It's not, you know, the leaves and stuff are not drying up. The leaves and stuff are not disappearing into the wind, but yet the bush is still burning and it's not being consumed. And what happens is the angel of the Lord calls him through the bush and Moses says, here am I. And the Lord starts to tell him, the first thing he tells him to do is to take off his shoes because the ground that he's standing on is holy. And he begins to tell him who he is. He says that he is the God of your father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And when Moses saw him and he heard the voice of the Lord, he hid his face away from him. And he goes on to finally say at the end of verse 7, that he has seen the affliction of his people and he has heard their cries from heaven about all the things that are happening to them in Egypt. And that pretty much sums up my piece for today. Thank you so much.
All right. The person that had Exodus 3, 8 through 14 is not here today. Does anyone want to do that part? Exodus chapter 3, 8 through 14. Anybody want to do that one? This is about deliverance in verse 8. He said, we've come down to deliver. God said he came down to deliver the Egyptians because he heard their cry. They were going through a lot. He said, look, I want to bring them to a better life. They going through slavery. They driving them, you know, overtime, double time and a half. They working them. And he said, okay, I want to bring them to a land that's filled with milk and honey, a place where they won't have to worry about all of that. And, you know, he said, a place of Canaan. And then he says, now he hears the cries of the children, and they're oppressed. They're going through a lot of oppression. Can you imagine? You're being driven, you know, to work and beaten if you're not working like you're supposed to. So he said, okay, I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses said, wait a minute, Lord. Wait, hold up, Father. You don't know me. Wait a minute. You know I can't do that. He said, wait a minute. See, Moses didn't know the powerful God that he was. He hadn't experienced God in all the power yet. But he will. So God said, okay, I know. I made your mouth. Don't you think I know? I made your mind. I made your whole body. I know everything you can do and everything you can't do. Now, this was speaking to me because, you know, I be thinking about all these limitations and what I can do, what I can't do. And so he said, look here, I know who you are, Moses. I drew you up here to the burning bush. You ain't drawing yourself. I let that light shine so you could see and come up here. I drew you because I knew you would be curious enough to come up to the mountain where I am. So he got up there, and he said, look, Moses said, well, God, I can't do all this that you want me to do. Moses began to tell God, you know, about the children of Israel as if God didn't know. He was speaking to God like God didn't know. And I don't know if I got to that part where it says it. You know, he told him to take the shoes off. You probably covered that part, Brother Brian. But anyway, I know when he got there, God told him to take the shoes off because this was holy ground. And then he also told him, he said, listen, I can't do that, Lord. I'm just not equipped to do it. He said, listen, I want you to do what I'm telling you to do, Moses. And then he said, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? And so God told him, he said, okay, my name is I Am. You say to them, I am that I am. And so that's what he said. So I got somebody in the background. Are you talking to someone else? You may put your phone on mute if you don't mind. But anyway, he was just, you know, talking to him. Now next, we have Sister Marion. She's got verses 3:15-22. Uh-oh. Her phone got knocked off probably just when she was getting ready to answer. She'll be back in a few minutes. She had Exodus 15, chapter 3:15-22. Okay, Sister Mary is next. She got Exodus chapter. Oh, wait. Sister Mary is back. Hold on. All right. Yes. Okay, Sister Mary, go ahead.
Yes, I had Exodus 15 through 22, and God told Moses what he should say unto the children of Israel to let them know that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob sent him. Moses was told to gather together all the elders, let them know that God had visited him and he had seen what is being done down in Egypt, and that we will bring them up out of the affliction of Egypt. He will bring them unto a land of flowing with milk and honey. They shall listen to thy voice and come. The elders of Israel shall say unto the king of Egypt, let my people go. But he knew that the king would not let his people go, not by a mighty hand. He said he would stretch out and smite Egypt with all his wonders, that which he will do in the midst thereafter, and he shall give the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass, and when they go, they shall not go empty, but for every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her sojourn in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and remnant, and they shall put them upon their sons and daughters when they depart, and you shall be spoil the Egyptians. That's the end of verse 15 through 22.
Okay, thank you, Sister Mary. Sister Mary, she has Exodus 4, 1 through 8. Exodus 4, 1 through 8.
Yes. This is kind of the exciting part, well, one of the exciting parts of that old movie, The Ten Commandments. Moses begins, or maybe he completes, the doubt in himself that he is actually using as many excuses as possible to not have to be in front. So Moses, his doubt showed up when he said that the people would probably say that the Lord has not appeared to you. And so the Lord took care of that. He answered that objection quickly by counteracting Moses' doubt by encouraging Moses to use what he had in his hand, and that was the staff, which God immediately changed into a serpent. It was such a good serpent, a big one evidently, that Moses ran off, but the Lord gave him directions on how to change the serpent back into the staff. And so now God said, I have appeared to you. Then Moses, God required Moses to put his hand in his bosom. And Moses followed directions. He put his hand in his bosom. And when he withdrew it from his bosom, it was leprous. And then the Lord gave him further instructions on just put it back into your cloak. And he did. When he pulled it out, the leprosy was gone. The whole thing was, I can help you. I will help you do whatever I ask you to do. That's it. Exodus 4.
All right.
Verses 1 through 8.
Okay. Thank you so much, Sister Mary. Next, we have Sister Lanny. She has Exodus 4, 9 through 16.
Yes, ma'am. As our sister just said, at the end of her verses, she spoke of the rod to a snake and back to a snake again, the healed hand to a leper hand, and then back to a healed hand again. God said to Moses, if Pharaoh will believe these two signs that I have instructed you to show him, then the third thing I want you to do is take water from the river and empty it on dry land. The water will become blood on dry land, which is, of course, another miracle. Moses, still very apprehensive, said, I don't speak well. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. God was determined to make sure Moses understood that he was in charge. God replied, who made the mouth? Who made the dumb, the deaf, the seeing, and the blind? I am the Lord who can do all of these things. Why are you worried? Because I'm God. God said, you just go. My words will be in your mouth, and I will teach you what you should say. Still in wonderment and doubt, Moses' response was to suggest that God send someone else. At this point, this angered God, but he still did not cancel his plans for Moses. And a footnote for us, if God's got a plan for us, we might as well gird our loins with truth and be obedient, because God's going to keep going after us to be obedient. God asked the question, isn't Aaron the Levite your brother? I know he can speak well. He's coming right now to meet you as we speak. And I want you to tell him what I said to you. I will be with you to guide your mouth and his. I will teach you all the things you would need to do. Aaron will be the spokesman to your people. It will be his mouth through you from me. And that's the end of that session.
All right. Thank you, Sister Lanny. Now, Sister Lanny, would you mind doing, I'm going to call on Vivian next, but would you mind doing chapter 4, 22 through 31? you could read that over real quick. I know we've been reading it all week, but if you could just give a brief summary of chapter 4, 22 through 31. And Sister Vivian is going to do Exodus 4, 17 through 21. Go ahead, Sister Vivian.
All right. Praise God. You know, God had Moses on a commission to go and do his will. So as we are seeing here how God commissioned him all along, that he took care of him all the way through Egypt. When we going through our Egypt, God going to take us through it, praise God. And Moses and to his father-in-law and said, let me, I pray you, and return to my brethren, which is in Egypt, and see whether they are yet alive. And, you know, they were still alive because God had helped them. So God told Moses to take his wife and his son and set them up on an ass and return into the land of Egypt. And he did so. And you know, when we obey God, God is not going to put nothing on us that we can't do. So where it looked hard for Moses, when he, as I heard him say, that he said he couldn't speak, God provided somebody to speak to him. He told him to, what to do with his rod, and they did that. And so now they go back to Egypt, and they find out everything. God got everything in control. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he said, I will harden the hearts of the people. And if Pharaoh don't let them go, praise God. And you shall say to Pharaoh, thus said the Lord, Israel, my son, even my firstborn. And Pharaoh's went on, and he did what God told him to do. And Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband are you to me. So God let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband you are because of the circumcision. Praise God. Well,
thank you, sister.
Yes.
All right. You ready, Sister Lanny?
All right. My sister just stopped at verse 26, so I'm looking at verse 27 to the end.
Yes. Okay, yeah, that's
okay, because she covered that about the bloody husband and circumcision. The Lord said unto Aaron, now God is speaking directly to Aaron, said, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And Moses was more agreeable about his assignment Aaron was more agreeable with his assignment and more quick to be obedient than Moses was. And Moses told Aaron all the words that God had said to him and all the signs that he had commanded him to do. And Moses and Aaron gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. In other words, they had a meeting with all of the leaders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spoke the words that God had spoken to Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. It was predisposition to get them to know that God has given us some things we can do to show Pharaoh that God is really with us and that he's working miracles. And the people believed because of what they had heard, that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, and they bowed their heads and worshiped him. After Moses and Aaron displayed the things that God had told them that they were going to show Pharaoh to convince him that God was with them, then the elders and Moses and Aaron, they had worship. They bowed their head and gave God glory. And that's the end of verse 31.
All right. Thank you. Well, we covered chapters, Exodus chapter 3 and 4. Next week we'll be doing Exodus 5 and 6. So don't forget, read it every day. Don't wait till an hour before, you know, time to come on and read it. Because, you know, every time I read it every day, God gives me more and more revelations about it. I'm like, wow, look at that, Lord. all. So, you know, he reveals things to us, but we got to get in the Word and read it ahead of time. Don't wait to the last minute. Well, I'm going to ask Sister Vivian. I forgot a few minutes ago. Sister Vivian, can you sing a song of praise unto God for us?
Praise God. I didn't get the text, but I'm going to do this. Awesome. My God is awesome. He can move mountains, keep me in the valley, hide me from the rain. Our God is awesome. This according to Exodus that we are just reading, how God is so awesome, how he done things for Moses as he obeyed. Praise God. Awesome, awesome, awesome. My God is awesome. He can move mountains, keep me in the valley, hide me from the rain. Our God is awesome, 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 awesome. Our God is awesome. Amen.
Thank you so much. He is an awesome God. He is awesome. You know, I tell you what, that God we serve, oh, Jesus, he is truly awesome. Yep.
Amen.
And you know what? He's a God who nothing is impossible to. Nothing is impossible to our God. You know, he's the one who put the sun in the sky, the moon, had him shine just at the right time. He's the one who said, let there be light. There was light. He separated the day from the night. We talk about the mighty God. Now, look here. If you think about all the plants that God created, I can't name them all. It's so many. If you go to different countries, they even have a different variety, different species of plants there, different kind of animals. Can you imagine? Now, look at Adam. Adam's job was to name all the animals. He had to name them all. So can you imagine? He named, and then remember Noah? God had Noah place two of every kind, male and female. I mean, when you think of all the wonderful ways that God has been with his people, how he don't leave us, he don't forsake us, and he has plans, he already knows the end of our lives from the beginning. Now, you tell me he isn't awesome. He is awesome and mighty. I thank God every day. He's so awesome. Now, today, this is our message title, so listen closely. An Encounter with God, the Almighty God Changes Our Lives Forever. An Encounter with God, the Almighty, changes our lives forever. Moses, you know, he wasn't born, you know, with that rod in his hand. No, he had to go through so much. And, you know, when Moses was born, they were trying to kill all the babies in Egypt. But, you know, Moses had a brilliant mother now. She was close to God, and God put wisdom in her to go ahead and hide him. Now, you know what? God could have let those people find Moses and kill him, but no, he had a plan for Moses. It was many baby boys that were murdered during that time. As soon as they came out, they were murdered. But those two midwives, they followed God. They said, no, those Egyptian women, they were lying though. Those Egyptian women, they strong. By the time we get there, they already birthed those babies and we don't even see them. So, you know, I thank God that our message title today is An Encounter with God, the Almighty, Changes Our Lives Forever. So can you remember when you first started your journey with God? You know, how you were then is completely different than how you are now. So God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But when you have an encounter, like Moses had an encounter on the mountaintop. Remember, Moses went up. God drew him by that burning bush. He went up there. So when a person comes into, you know, an encounter with God, they will never, ever be the same. Do you remember the story of Saul, who later on became Apostle Paul? God knew who he was. He was murdering Christians. Those people who professed to know Jesus, he was murdering them. So one day, God stopped on the road to Damascus, and he blinded him. He got his full attention. I'm telling you, let lose your sight, lose your hearing. God's going to get your full attention. So he got Saul's full attention, and he had sent someone to talk to him. He sent a mighty man of God. And so there were people around Saul when he heard the voice. They heard the voice, but they didn't, you know, he didn't see anybody because Saul was, you know, blind. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting my people?" He said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified." He was so ignorant, like a lot of us were. Sometimes we don't know we're crucifying Jesus again, but I don't know about you, but I done crucified him so many times, I can't even count them. Didn't even know I was crucifying him. And, you know, Apostle Saul later on became the great Apostle Paul. He wrote most of the New Testament, but I'm telling you, he had to go through a lot of suffering. So God said to the curious Moses, who he drew up on the mountain with this awesome, bright, eternal light, that light that wouldn't go out. He said, "Look here, you on holy ground. Take those sandals off your feet right now. Take those sandals off." So Moses obeyed God. He took the sandals off. He said, "The ground you're standing on is holy ground." Holy, anywhere the presence of God is holy ground. Anywhere the presence of God is holy ground. Moses hid his face. That's a sign that, you know, he understood the presence of God and the glory, the divine majesty was, you know, he understood and he was aware of his sin consciousness and that he was unworthy. He knew he was unworthy. So he took his sandals off. He went down. He said, "Holy ground was rendered a safe place in the presence of God." So Moses bowed down before God, and God called him, "Moses, Moses." He said, "Here I am, God." You remember reading the story? You read it every day. It's kind of indebted, you know, kind of written on the tables of your heart by now. When you read it every day, the word going to get written on the tables of your heart. So the Hebrew word for holy is Gadesh, which means set apart, separate, sacred, otherness, and that's what we're to be, holy like God. We're to be set apart. When we go places, people ought to know that you are not like other people. There's a sign that is not visible to the human eye. But guess what? The world knows who you are because your light should be shining bright like God up on the mountain. It should be shining. So holy, we're to be set apart. And, you know, children have problems with this. They want to be like other children. But, no, the children of God, we can't be like other people. We are set apart. You know, when I was a young woman, I went places. I shouldn't go to the barroom. They said, "What you doing in here?" They never saw me before. They said, "What, you don't belong in here." They already knew because it was, you know, that light was in me. And I had no business in a dark place. So, all right, now, the people of the world know who you are, so we're to be set apart, holy, purified. Do you remember Esther went through a purification for a year? Well, when we read the Word, study the Word, spend time with the Most High God, hear the Word of God, you may hear it from a pastor, you may hear it from a woman, a man of God, we get purified of all the ungodly ways we have. So 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 through 16 says, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. So make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, you know what? Nobody can see God. Without holiness, the word says nobody can see God. Now look here. I don't want to spend all this time down here reading the word, studying the word, obeying God, and not, you know, not live holy. You got to live holy. What's holy? Holy, sanctified, purified in your thoughts. God even tell us how to think. He said, look, don't think on those things like the other people in the world think. You can't think like them. You got to think like I'm leading you to think, and I'm leading you to think on a different level. You know, people came, you know, when Christ came to the earth, they thought, you know, he was coming to do the things that they did. You know, they worshiped on the Sabbath day. They got upset with him when he did something on the Sabbath. And, you know, he knew him. Remember when he went into the temple and threw the tables over? He was angry. The money changers. So, you know, we can't do like the world. We got to be set apart. And the world know you. If you going down there and you smoking weed with the world, they go like, uh-oh. They pulling you in. He said, don't be conformed to the world. So Romans 12, 1 and 2, brothers and sisters, because of God's compassion toward us, I encourage you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices dedicated to God and pleasing to him. This kind of worship is appropriate for you. Don't become like the people of the world. Instead, change the way you think. Then you will always be able to determine what God really wants, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. So that's what Romans 12 and 1 says. And you know that I read that in another Bible. But if you read it in the King James, of course, you know what it says. But our message is the title, An Encounter with God, the Almighty, changes our lives forever. We won't ever be the same when we go with God. You know what, Saul? Saul was never the same. He was just, God changed his name to Paul because he was known as a man. When they saw him, they go like, he going to kill us. But he said, no. I used to be that old man. Now I'm a new person. And, oh, my God, they didn't believe it. He had to go through so much. Remember, he went to prison. He went through all kind of things. An encounter with God, the Almighty, changes our lives forever. God called you, and he chose you. What's your excuse? You know, Moses had all of those excuses. I mean, he had so many, but God knocked them all down. So, you know, I want to ask each of you on here, what is your excuse? Vivian, what's your excuse? Sister Lani, what's your excuse? Teresa, what's your excuse? Brother Brian, what's your excuse? Marion, what's your excuse? Angela, what's your excuse? Sister Mary, what's your excuse? Vivian, what's your excuse? Do you have any excuses? But I'm telling you, God is God. We can make excuses, but why we can't obey God? Well, Lord, you know, I can't do this because, you know, when I was 14, I did this to so-and-so, and, you know, I ain't quite right. I'm a sinner. Yeah, he know. Look here, before he called Moses, he already knew Moses. Moses didn't know God, but he knew Moses. He was the one who kept Moses when he was a baby and had his mother go over there with his sister, Miriam, put him in the water where he knew Pharaoh's daughter was going to bathe every day. So we cannot have excuses. The word of God says many are called, but few are chosen. So you called, but are you chosen yet? I'm pretty sure you're chosen. You have been called and chosen. Have you been obedient, or have you given excuses to why you can't? Of course you can't. No, we can't do it. Moses couldn't do it either. Philippians 4:13, Brother Brian know it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We cannot do anything in our own strength. David was a shepherd boy, and he could not have killed Goliath if he had come in his own name. But he said, I come in the name of the Lord. So we got to go in the name of the Lord. If not, the enemy going to slaughter us. Now, I ain't just talking about, David didn't just have words. He had actions that he come in the name of the Lord. Look at all those people. They had all of that army gear on. They were all dressed to kill. But guess what? They couldn't kill. They didn't know how to come in the name of the Lord like David did. So we got to go in the name of the Lord and obey what he tell us. Our own strength won't help us in fighting the battle. Now, remember Samson? Samson didn't use his own strength. Samson went in the Lord's strength, and he was warned, you're a Nazirite. Don't you cut your hair. Don't tell nobody about your secret. If you do, you're going to lose your strength. He was warned, his parents told him. But you know how we are, even when we were children, we were teenagers, we were rebellious. You know, we want what we want. He saw somebody he loved. He loved, but guess what? Delilah didn't love him. She betrayed him. And he lost his hair. They cut his hair off. Not only did they cut his, they were cruel. They put his eyes out. So we got to remember to come in the name of the Lord. We can't go in our own strength. I remember one time this some lady called me. She wanted me to come to her house and pray throughout the house. I said, no, ma'am. The Lord told me, don't go. I ain't tell her, but the Lord told me. He said, no. I guess the Lord said, no, they set the trap for you. You're not going. I couldn't go in my own name and just override what God told me to do. I had to do what he told me to do. So God has a plan. Now, you know, in Ephesians 3:11 through the entire chapter 21-22, and all the way through, Exodus. Exodus chapter 3 and 4. Most of us can list excuses of why we don't lead effectively, just as Moses did. You know, he had all these excuses about why he couldn't do this, why he couldn't do that, why he couldn't do the other. So excuse number one, he said, first of all, who am I, Lord? Moses struggled with his own identity. He just didn't feel qualified. He thought God had picked the wrong leader. You know God had picked the wrong person. So God's response was, it doesn't matter who you are. I am with you. Excuse two, who are you, Lord? He asked. Moses felt a lack of intimacy. He wasn't close with God. He didn't know God well enough to describe him to the people. He lacked conviction. He wasn't close with God like he wanted to be or like he should be. So God said, okay, I'm going to help you out, Moses. So God helped him. God said, I am who I am. I am ever present. I am everything you need. So you know what God did for him? He did everything. He gave him so many things. He equipped him. So excuse, that was two excuses. Excuse number three, if they don't listen to me, Lord, who am I? I used to live over there, and I murdered somebody. Now, you talking to the Almighty. God know everything we've done, everything Moses did, everything everybody did. So he said, look here, they're not going to listen to me. So God said, when I'm finished, they'll listen. God know what to do now. Excuse number four, I've never been a good speaker. He said, no, I get all mixed up when I'm trying to speak this because I can't even complete a sentence. But that's okay. God had a plan for him. He said, that's okay. I'll send, you know, somebody to help you. He said, guess who made your mouth, Moses? In case you didn't know it, I made it. God made his mouth, he made his ears, eyes, he made his whole body. So number four, number five, he said, I know you can find somebody else. He said, Lord, there must be somebody more worthy than me. Remember I killed that person right there and I hit him in the sand? You know I'm a murderer, Lord. God knew who he was. God know who you are too, and he definitely know who I am. She said, yeah, Carissa, I know you got all these spots and blemishes, but that's okay. I'm going to get rid of them. You just keep being obedient. I'm going to get rid of all of them. I'm going to knock them down. So God's response was, okay, you got all these excuses. I'm going to send Aaron to help you. Are we like Moses? Do we make excuses as if God doesn't already know our limitations? He made humans limited. If he didn't give us limitations, we'd be God. But we're not God. You know, Satan thought he was God. He said he wanted to be just like God, but God kicked him out. We don't want God to kick us out. However, when God chose us for his plan, he helps to complete us. He helps complete us with his plan. We don't have our own plan. You know, we can't say, look here, Lord, I'm going to go to the White House, and I'm going to straighten out the president and all of these people. And God didn't send you? They're going to arrest you when you get there. If you don't go in the name of the Lord and be obedient to him, you're going to get arrested. All them soldiers going to come and arrest you. And no telling, you may be in prison for life. When God equips us, he takes us through trials, situations, and circumstances. Trials, you know the trials, they make us stronger. They prepare us for what God's plan is. Moses went through many trials, I'm telling you. And so did Joseph, and so did all the children of God you read about in the Bible. They went through many trials. Think about Jonah. He didn't want to do it. Like Moses, we might feel unequipped or unprepared, but, you know, we prepare. God knows what he's doing. He prepares you as you go along. You need this, he's going to put this in you. You need that, the next step, he's going to put that in you. So he prepares you along the way. You know, he had prepared David. Remember David? He killed a lion. He killed a bear. But by the time he got to kill Goliath, he was like, oh, who you messing with, Goliath? No, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. He's the Almighty. Nothing impossible. David wasn't afraid. Everybody else was running, but not David. He said, I come in the name of the Lord. But God knows what we can do, and he knows we can do it. But only with his help. We can't do nothing in and apart from him. He does have a plan, and we have to complete the plan, but many times, most times, God has already chosen people to help us complete the plan. Most times, we don't have to do it alone. Like Aaron for Moses, like a bowling ball, when it knocks the pins down, God knocks every excuse down that Moses had, every excuse we have, he knocked them down. You say, well, Lord, you know, I got a family. I got all these, you know, I got a husband, I got children, I got grandchildren. I can't go. So God knocked all of those things down. What is God calling you to do? Each of us on this call, God has chosen us to do a particular plan and purpose that only you can do. Now, you know what? Could nobody else kill Goliath but David? David was chosen to do it. They didn't even want to anoint him to be king when he was a child because they thought he couldn't do it. They thought he wasn't. It couldn't be him. What is God calling you to do? Think about it. What is he calling you to do? He has a plan for you. What were you called and chosen to do, to accomplish for God? Usually, it's what you've been doing all along, but this will be on a larger scale. See, Moses was defending people all along. Remember he killed that Egyptian? Because he was defending the Hebrew people. He was called to do that. For me, my call is with children, specifically young hurting girls. Why? Because that's what I was. So God brought something familiar to me to do. I had a group called the Holy Ghost Girls. Now, I began teaching my baby dolls. My mother reminded me when I was growing, I said, I don't know how I got into teaching. She said, girl, you've been teaching since you were playing with your baby dolls. I said, oh, my God. Then I would babysit my cousin's children, my sister's children. I would babysit people in the neighborhood. Then when I was 17, my pastor said, Sister Carissa, I want you to teach Sunday school. I'm like, me? I can't teach children. I don't know how to teach. He said, yes, you do. See, God showed him what was in me. I didn't even know it was there, but he saw it. So God will show people what's in you, and he'll also let you know. So I remember I went to Southwestern Christian College. I was 21 when I went to college. I got an AA degree. It was a two-year college. And I remember every night we used to go around a big tree, except if it was real cold or, you know, raining. And we would pray, and God would answer our prayers. It took some prayers didn't come forth for a year, but he answered them. Then I went to Abilene Christian, and I wanted to do social work. But guess what? They didn't even have a social work program. Did I investigate before? No. So what was my next choice? Teaching. So I remember even teaching Sunday school. The youngest child, it was three of us in that class. The youngest child we had in that class was 2 weeks old. Now, I didn't know what God was doing in that baby. One day, the baby was about a year old. She wouldn't even come all the time. We'd change a little diaper, pray over her, sing songs, do a little story. One day, her mother brought her. She was a year old. Mom said, "What's that song y'all teaching her?" Said, "She could talk." Her mother said she'd sing them every day. She was a year old. Now, you tell me God is not putting the word in the children when you're teaching them. He's not putting the word in whoever you're around. The word is oozing out you to the people you are around. That's what it's supposed to do. Sometimes you don't even have to say a word. Just go there. Be there. They know your light is going to shine. You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You can't hide it under a bushel. Uh-uh. It's going to shine. So are you doing what God called you to do? Moses didn't want to do it. He had all this resistance. Have you ever had an encounter with the Most High God? Let me tell you something. When you have an encounter with the Most High God, you will know it, and it'll be noticeable to other people. They'll be like, "You're not that same Caritha we used to know? Uh-uh. You're the same." You know, I remember one time I was praying, and they looked at me, they're like, "What?" They said, "We ain't never heard you pray like that." I was in my 40s, and I remember the Holy Spirit got on me. It wasn't even me. The Holy Spirit got, I could feel the Holy Spirit on me, and it was just praying through me. So I thank God. You know, when you have an encounter with God, you're never going to be the same now. You're never going to be the same. Moses had an encounter with God on the burning bush. That was the first encounter. When was your encounter? As we continue to read in Exodus, you will see the changes that Moses, you know, went through. You'll begin to see them. God in of the Old Testament did not take no for an answer. He knocked down every excuse Moses had, and he ain't taking. Now, let me tell you, he's angry. He has an angry side. They say, "Oh, yeah, he kind and he loving. He's so precious. God is an angry God." He has an anger. Remember, he was going to kill Moses in chapter 4, but his wife circumcised his son and got blood and put it on Moses to protect Moses. He had a brilliant wife now. I'm telling you, she had to stay before God. So God has an angry side. He ain't going to take no for an answer. He may listen to your excuses. He knock them all down. After a while, he said, go do what I tell you to do. I'm going to be with you. So God was angry with Jonah. You know, Jonah was one of them slick people. God said, "I want you to go to Nineveh." He said, "Okay." He agreed. And then he went the opposite way. But that's okay. God knew what to do. He had a big old fish because he knew what he was going to do now. Save just for Jonah. When Jonah got over into that water from that ship, that big old fish caught him up for 3 days. Numbers 11:1 says, "When the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the utmost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched." So our prayers have power. Sometimes you pray for people, you know, God be angry with them, he changes. He turn it around. Psalm 7:11 says, God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked. How often? Every day. Not some days, every day. So we must be about our Father's business. God's anger seemed to be kindled again, like in the Old Testament. People were oppressed, depressed, suppressed. Wickedness filled the land, murder of unborn babies, murder of the children, crime all over. Doesn't that sound like today? Matthew 24:6-13. You will hear wars, rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of birth pains. Do not panic. The end is not come. Come closer to God, and he will keep you safe. Be obedient. Stand still and hold fast to God. Unchanging hand, and he will keep you. Psalms 91:4, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His truth is your shield and armor. You do not need to fear the terrors of the night, the arrows that fly by day, the plagues, the pestilence, the epidemics. You don't need to fear any of those things. No, because the Almighty is with you. They will not come near you. Even though 1,000 may fall at one side, 10,000 at the other, won't come near you. You only have to look with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked people. You, O Lord, are our refuge. You have made the Most High your home. No harm will come to you. No sickness will come near your house. He will put his angels in charge of you to protect you. So I need somebody to pray, someone who could pray a prayer. I'm going to unmute the line. Can pray a prayer of thanksgiving for, things, you're thankful for God is doing right now. I know it's a lot of stuff going on in the world, but we still can be thankful for many things. So I've unmuted the lines, and I need about 3 people to pray, giving God thanks for prayers that, he's answered and things he's done for you. Prayers of thanksgiving that you would like to pray. Prayers of thanksgiving stating that, God, I appreciate you. He's done so many things for all of us. So he's kept us safe from the pandemic. We can all say that. He's kept many of our family members safe from the pandemic. And, Hurricane Ida that just came, he preserved you. So who wants to go first? Sister Mary, did you say something?
I will. Go ahead, Marion. Okay. Hold on, I'm going to mute my TV. Heavenly Father, I come before you today, Lord God, on no strength of my own right now, but just to praise you, Lord God, just to lift you up, Lord God, because you are awesome, awesome God. Right now, I thank you for everything that you've done for me in my life right now, Lord God. I know I didn't deserve the blessings and the favor and the mercy that you showed upon me, but I thank you right now, Lord God, for seeing something in me to save me right now, Lord God, and bring me out of the world and into your grace right now, Lord God. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for you blessing and covering my family. I thank you for blessing everyone that's on this radio today, Lord God. Heal our families, Lord God. Bind them together on one accord with love right now, Lord God. I promote peace right now, Lord God. Peace in the world right now, Lord God. Let us be thankful for what we have, Lord God, and just to praise you and just to continue
to do your will, Lord God, not our will. Be susceptible to your word right now, Lord God. Just to continue to read and study your word, Lord God, and be an example. Let a light shine in us so people can see that we are saved, that we are children of God, that we represent him. I just thank you, Lord God, for all the good. I thank you for all the bad. I thank you for the ups. I thank you for the downs. I thank you for bringing me out. I'm taking me in right now, Lord God. I just praise you right now, Lord God. And I just thank you, Lord God. And I just bless your holy name, Lord God, because it's truly worthy to be praised, Lord God. I just magnify you right now, Lord God. I just lift you up right now, Lord God. Just thank you, Lord God. Words can't express how much I love you and how much I thank you, Lord God. I know I didn't deserve the blessings that I have received, Lord God, but I thank you for showing favor right now, Lord God, and blessing me and my family right now, Lord God. Continue to heal the sick right now, Lord God. Continue to heal the land, Lord God, of this pandemic. Forgive all of us for our sins right now, Lord, and cleanse this earth of the pandemic that we're going through. Lord, I thank you, I praise you, and I bless your holy name. In your son Jesus' name I pray and I thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Mary. All right, Sister Mary Nichols, go ahead.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we just, yes, continue to praise you and thank you that you have allowed us to see this day and to be a part of it, and another opportunity, Lord, to recognize your great power and your love and your mercy. We just thank you, Lord, that we can come to you anytime. And, Lord, we just want to come to you in gratitude for what you are doing, what you have done, and what you have planned for our future. Help us, Lord, to be close to you, to learn of you, to study you, to love you and serve you as you would have us. And we're just grateful for the opportunity, grateful, Lord, that you love us and that you have died for us. Oh, Lord, just you would be so loving and kind to us. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you for everything in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. Amen. Yes, thank you so much. I want to give you all a praise report. I got pictures today of baby Kaiser. And I can remember when I first heard about baby Kaiser, baby Chloe's mother sent me pictures. He was hooked up with all kind of tubes all over him, and he was only about 2 pounds, maybe 3. And now she sent me a picture. Oh, my God, he looked like he about 15 pounds, big old boy. I think he may be close to a year, but he's still in the hospital. But he looked so good, and then she sent me a picture of his whole family. They were holding, mom holding him. He looked so good. So thank God he's answering our prayers. That baby is so, oh, my God, that just did my heart so good to see baby Kaiser with all that weight, because he was in an incubator for a while, and he didn't have hardly any weight on him, but God has just filled him out now. He still has one tube in his nose, and so does baby Chloe, but we'll keep praising and thanking God. So I'm going to ask Sister Lainey if she would thank and praise God for our babies, and, you know, then I'm going to ask Sister Vivian to close us. Thank God for you all. Go ahead, Sister Lane.
Amen. Praise God. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, so God you are. So God you are. We are so humble to just celebrate your omniness in all things, omnipotent, of power, vicious. There is no place, no person, place, or thing where you're not aware of what's in our presence and what's around us. And, Father, we know that in this time, in this season in our world, the enemy is after our seed. And, Father, we lift up Kaiser. We lift up all three pour the babies to you, Father, after the name of Jesus, that you will continue to heal them because they are examples to us of others that we can't see, we can't touch, but the enemy is after them to destroy the purpose that you have put them in the earth for, God, in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus over them, and we celebrate you as the healer. We know that there is no other healer but you. We know that doctors treat, but we know that you heal. God, I pray for the parents of children everywhere, particularly the parents of the children that we celebrate each week. We pray, God, for their strength and their confidence in you. We pray, God, that even as the babies are recuperating while they're asleep, that they're touching, laying hands on them and blessing them, telling them who they are in you and how you purpose them, Father, according to your word, that they will do great exploits for you in Jesus' name. God, we pray for them from the inside out, from the top of the head to the toes of the feet. God, set a guard on their bodies, their soul, spirit, and mind. Thank you, Father, for the season that they're in. Seasons do change. We thank you that you are God of all seasons, and there's no place where your presence is not shown and your presence is not known. Teach us, Father, to trust you even the more. Teach us, Father, to surrender even the more. And even, God, teach us to know who we be before we do what we're doing so that we can be effective for you. That, as our teacher said, we have to go in your name. We have to go in the name of the Lord and not in our own name, not in our own ability. But we lift you up, Father, and we trust the lead of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the angels. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the name of Jesus. So we bless, Father, everybody on the line, thanking you for Sister G and all the other worshipers, all the other Bible scholars that she has called us. She's speaking those things over us that be not as though they were. So we are striving that we can just know more about you so that we can be more effective in ministry in the earth. How we bless you, God. Now, God, we plead a special covering of protection from disease and clamor and all the things that's in the earth. Hallelujah. According to Psalms 91, we thank you, Father, that you have placed angels to set a guard on us, and we can rest under your wing and be comforted to know that wherever we are and whatever we're doing, you are a keeper, and you are a healer, you are a deliverer, our comforter, our forgiver, even to help us forget some things that we need to get out of our psyche, out of our mind, that the enemy has tried to hold us hostage to. Thank you for being a great deliverer, a great savior. Hallelujah. And even the more Lord and Master, we love you and we bless you in Christ Jesus. Every lie that the enemy set against us, we bind it in Jesus' name. And we embrace the truth of who you are, the truth of who we are in you even the more. It is in the name of Jesus we pray and you thank you. We thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Does anyone want to say anything before we close out?
Well, I thank God. Amen. Can you hear me? Okay, I thank God two chapters. I thank God for the two chapters that we studied all the week. It was just teaching us how God speaks to us and how he sends us out on commission and how, and if we are listening to him, we are carrying out the great commission that he has told us to do, whatever he tells us to do. So I pray that we hear more of God calling and what he is telling us to do and not be afraid to step out and do it, but go in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I would like to invite the class to go to, if you have Facebook, go to your Matthew Span, the last two sermons he preached about back to the gospel, that the church, the body of Christ, we need to get back to the gospel. We've been distracted by so many things. The last two sermons are really powerful. His name is just Matthew Span. It's been an empowerment to me and such a help. All the things that God has exposed me to through the week, this teaching with Sister G and the praying that we do on Tuesday, I'm amazed at what God has done to strengthen me because amen. There have been some challenges, but God has been faithful. And this Bible class and hearing my brother preach each Sunday and other teachings have just given me strength to move forward in Jesus' name. I'm encouraged. Today was a special episode. Encouragement. Sister G asked, what are your excuses? I said, oh, boy. So, amen. That's some time we have to lay before God and let him purge some things out of my own thinking so that I can be truly set free to do all the things that God has set my hands to do. As Miles Monroe says, my desire to die empty. I want to do everything God has assigned me to do before leaving the earth.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody else? All right, Sister Vivian, if you could close us out in prayer, we thank God for each of you. I love you all. You know God loves you more. Have a God-filled day, an awesome day, a God-filled, a powerful week. Obey God. Love on him and love on others. Amen. Go ahead.
Amen. Praise God. Father God, thank you for everyone that was on today, God. Father, I thank you, Lord God, as you lead us, oh God, we will follow. You said your sheep hear your voice, and another they will not follow, God. And so, Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for such a great Bible study. And, Lord, as we go, Lord, we bind the enemy on every hand. We try to, oh God, distract us, tear us any kind of way where we will not study your word. God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, and we thank you for it, Lord God. Father God, keep each one of us and help us to be back on the next show. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Love y'all. Thank you so much. Have a God awesome, awesome week.
All right.
Bye-bye.